Midwest will see some warm and rainy weather over the next couple of days. A nearly stationary frontal boundary stretching from central Missouri east into the Ohio Valley will waver across the Midwest for the next couple of days. As upper-level disturbances track northeast across the boundary, we can expect occasional showers and thunderstorms. An easterly wind brought cool air to parts of the Midwest for the past few days, but beginning today, we'll see a southerly wind bring much warmer air back into the Midwest through Wednesday. High temperatures today will range from the mid-50s in northern Iowa to the mid-70s along the Ohio Valley. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-40s in northern Wisconsin to the mid-60s across the Ohio Valley. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, showers are likely. There's also a chance of thunderstorms. It will be warmer, the high 73, the wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low 58, the wind light and from the south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, look for a high of 78. The wind will be out of the south from 10 to 15. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Expect a low of 62. The wind from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny and warm with a high in the mid-80s. The wind from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the low 80s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the mid-60s. At noon Central Time, most locations across Illinois and Indiana reported a cloudy sky, temperatures ranging from the upper 50s to the upper 70s. At Rockford, 57 degrees. At O'Hare, 59. Bloomington reported light rain and 63 degrees. In Mattoon, partly sunny and 72. At Carbondale, 76. In South Bend, light rain, 62. In Lafayette, 77. Partly sunny and 74 at Indianapolis and 79 degrees at Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 69 degrees. The dew point, 62. The relative humidity, 78%. The wind out of the west at 12. The barometric pressure, 29.96 and steady. And at 12:40, 67 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Tomorrow is Bike to Work Day in Champaign-Urbana. If you don't own a bicycle or if you have a bike that's gathering dust, then tomorrow might be the right day to release the kickstand and take off. As part of our series on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers recently ended a long-time hiatus from bike riding to bring us this report.
Growing up, I used to always ride my bike. I remember going to the park to do these wicked stunts, just to impress the other kids. But as I got older, I stopped riding. Maybe it had something to do with getting a driver's license, going off to college and not having enough time for a regular joyride, and eventually transitioning into adulthood. Whenever I drive my car, I typically see a handful of cyclists, going to school, work, or the store. Occasionally, there's competitive bikers, or those hardcore enthusiasts, who just have to be on a bike whenever they're outside. I'm reminded of one such character from the TV show Portlandia.
Watch out, bike.
Cars, man, why?
I don't have a driver's license.
I don't need it.
Get a bike lane here.
Hey, I get this whole lane.
10 feet rule.
Hey, birds,
you guys have little bikes?
Hold up, I'm stopping. That means I'm stopped.
Okay, so maybe that's one type of cyclist, but I'm going to introduce you to other cyclists in Champaign-Urbana.
My name is Mark.
Hi, my name is Torian.
Torian Smith is 11, and his younger brother Mark is 7.
Bicycling is my life.
What are you talking about? No, it's not.
All right. Well, I always ride bikes around the block and at the park.
Do you bike to exercise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think about things like being healthy and losing weight or not gaining weight? Do either of you think about that?
Yes.
How come?
Because it makes you stronger and healthier.
Well, it's important to me because I don't want to grow up to be like a blob. If I was a blob, I wouldn't be able to ride my bike.
When I caught up with them, they were biking to Mark's Taekwondo class, accompanied by family friend Emily Federer. Federer helped them get their bikes about a month ago through the Bike Project of Urbana-Champaign. That's a nonprofit group that sells used bikes and offers resources about biking. Federer is in the Taekwondo class with Mark, and she tries to bike with the two brothers each week. It's about a 2-mile trek from Federer's home in Champaign to the class in Savoy. Here they are, getting ready to take off.
I always try to bring him a snack before we go.
Try it, let me have some grapes.
We better go. We got 15 minutes to get there.
All right, come on.
Hey, guys, get over to the right.
Federer says bike safety is an ongoing discussion she has with Torian and Mark. For example, she says, when she got Mark's bike about a month ago, the helmet he had didn't fit.
So we didn't encourage a lot of bike riding until he had a good-fitting helmet. So we found this one that he's wearing today fits him really well. So now I can say, how does your helmet fit? Does it fit tight? It's supposed to fit tight. And did you know that if you fall, you know, your head is really vulnerable? And so I kind of put little things out there over time.
Anna Hochulter of Urbana doesn't own a car. She started biking actively as a college student in Washington State. After working 5 years for the city of Urbana and biking to work just about every day, she's now a graduate student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. On a recent morning, she gets ready to head to campus.
Travel mug in hand. I try to live close to wherever I'm working because it just makes the commute easier.
I hop on a bike to ride alongside her. We each have microphones attached to us.
I'm concerned that your cable's going to fall out of your bag. It's not quite...
Mine? Oh, jeez, that's not good.
That is one thing that, as a cyclist, you become more aware of. Like, you sort of have to get everything in a sealed container, like, confined in your bag with it latched, because otherwise it's going to fly.
And off we go, biking from Hochulter's home in downtown Urbana to the U of I campus.
I love, look at all these beautiful flowers. Biking, you have more wind, so I find in the summer it's so enjoyable to bike because you get wind. When I try to get in a car with people, it takes so long for their air conditioning to turn on, and it's, I don't know, I find it uncomfortable.
Do you feel like motorists don't really know how overall to handle or respond to bicyclists?
I think it depends on the town.
Well, what about this
town? This town's pretty good. That's annoying to me when cars stop at a crosswalk when they have the right-of-way for me as a cyclist when I'm on the street, because it's confusing to cars, because I'm a vehicle when I'm on the street.
Hochulter and I make it to the U of I campus. Champaign and Urbana both have plans in place to be more bike-friendly. While Hochulter says the Twin Cities do a good job making bike lanes visible, she says there's definitely room for improvement.
The bike lanes I find to be sort of in disrepair on campus. They have strange angles and, like, people walk on them anyway, and they're narrower than the sidewalks, so I feel more comfortable on the sidewalks or on the streets.
Hochulter says she likes the level of support and enthusiasm for biking in this community.
I see a lot of people biking actually with suits, and I love that. And I love that about Bike to Work Day, that it's encouraging this sort of cultural shift into accepting some of these really simple things that you don't think matter, but they start to matter.
And it's not just the cities and people who are becoming more bike-friendly. Businesses are doing it, too. A couple of weeks ago, the League of American Bicyclists came out with its list of bicycle-friendly businesses located across the country. These are businesses that the League says go that extra mile to accommodate cyclists, offering bike maps, holding events for cyclists, and even offering indoor showers for employees who bike. Bill Nesper is the League's vice president of programs.
Biking is great for your health, it's great for employee health, it's great for the way that the business works as a positive force within a community. So all those things go into making a bicycle-friendly business.
The League this year identified 4 bike-friendly areas of Champaign-Urbana: the City of Champaign, the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, the Common Ground Food Co-op, and the video store, That's Rentertainment.
It's been the assassination of the team, but it's also seen a lot of riders left behind. And what we'll see when we come
at That's Rentertainment, located in Campus Town, video of the 2011 Tour de France plays on a monitor. The owner, Jeff Merritt, is a bike enthusiast. At the front entrance of the store, he has a mini bike station set up, which he says just might be the smallest bike shop in the world.
It's literally 2 foot by 2 foot, and so we've got inner tubes for all sorts of bicycles. We've got oil for chains. We've got headlights and taillights. We've got reflectors.
Merritt says he set up this bike stand about 4 years ago and gives the profit he makes to different bike groups in the community. On the window outside of Merritt's store, there are posters with warning messages for cyclists. Beware of the door. Sidewalks are for walking. See and be seen. Merritt has a bird's eye view from inside his store of bike and car traffic. He says he's astounded by the number of people who don't obey the rules of the road.
It is amazing that there aren't more accidents than there are. Any number of accidents are too many, but it's everybody. It's not just bicyclists or drivers. It's everybody is just talking on the phone, listening to their stereo, paying attention to their espresso, and not watching what they're doing.
Safety, whether you drive a car, ride a bike, or walk, is always a concern. And that's an issue we'll examine next week as our health and wellness series continues. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
Pre-registration for CU Bike to Work closed last Friday, but people can stop by a bike station the day of the event tomorrow and register as a participant. Bike station information can be found at willconnect.org. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation.
Standing 5'8" and weighing over 300 pounds, Cheryl Hayward struggles to defend her champion weightlifting status. Strong, our next community cinema, chronicles her journey and the challenges this unusual elite athlete faces, exploring popular notions of power, strength, beauty, and health. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library, Tuesday, May 1st, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 30th of April, 2012. It was on this date, 1859, Charles Dickens's A Tale of Two Cities was first published. It came out in serial form in a new weekly magazine all the year round, which Dickens himself had founded. And A Tale of Two Cities was on the front page of the first issue. Thanks to his popularity, the first issue sold 125,000 copies. The magazine was successful from the start. Dickens's investment paid off, and he serialized Great Expectations in the magazine 1 year later. A Tale of Two Cities, which begins, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were all going direct the other way." It's the birthday of Annie Dillard, born in Pittsburgh, 1945. She wrote her master's thesis on Thoreau's Walden. Then she moved to a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains and kept a daily journal of her observations of nature, her thoughts about religion, wrote in old notebooks and on 4x6-inch index cards. And her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, published in 1974, won the Pulitzer Prize for nonfiction. She was only 29 years old. Her most recent work is a novel, The May Trees. And it was on this date in 1952 Anne Frank's diary was first published in English, Diary of a Young Girl. Came out in Dutch, 1947, under the title The Secret Annex. Anne Frank died of typhus in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp about 2 weeks before the camps were liberated in 1945. After the war, her father, Otto Frank, was given the diary. He wasn't able to read it for a while. It was too painful. But when he did, he saw that his daughter meant for the diary to be published. There were two versions of the diary, the A version, made up of journal entries, and the B version, rewritten by Anne herself. Her father edited the two together. He left out 5 pages of her original A version, pages in which she described the progress of her sexual development and ranted about her mother. Those pages were restored in the definitive edition, which was published in 1995. Here's our poem for today, which is an excerpt from Anne Frank's diary for Wednesday, February 23, 1944. As long as this exists, I thought, and I may live to see it, the sunshine, the cloudless skies, while this lasts, I cannot be unhappy. The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or